It's Saturday, April the 23rd, 2022. You're moving at the speed of creativity with Wesley Fryer, narrowcasting from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Well, hello, and welcome to a podcast on moving at the speed of creativity. I have risked becoming a pod fader here on this channel, and this channel was actually not listed by iTunes for quite a while, but I was able to get it relisted, and one of the things that I want to be doing as I shift into a bit of a new season of life, moving to a different state, having a new job this summer, and some other life changes, is podcasting more on this channel. I've been podcasting here on Moving at the Speed of Creativity since 2005. And if I'm counting right, this is episode 477. No, 478. But I haven't published one, which was 477, last June when we were in Deadwood, South Dakota on our family reunion. And so anyway, I'm going to title this podcast, I think, Updates and Classroom Loves, because I'm going to share a series of just different updates about things that are going on and some different websites I'm updating and maintaining now. And then I want to share, I think, about a 17-minute audio version of a video that I created this last week in my classroom here in Oklahoma City. And I titled that video 15 Things I Love About My Classroom and Teaching Situation. So I will include a link to that, as well as the other referenced things that I'll share here in the podcast show notes, which hopefully you're finding at speedofcreativity.org. But without further ado, let's launch into some updates before we get to the classroom loves. All right. Well, I need to probably be careful not to talk too long. Man, I haven't had a podcast in a while. I've taken a few notes here. So my 7 years of work and teaching at Cassidy School here in Oklahoma City is drawing to a close. I've been at Cassidy the last 7 years, 4 years as the director of technology, and then 3 years as a media literacy teacher and instructional coach. Our family's actually been in Oklahoma for 16 years. We moved here in 2006 from Lubbock, Texas, and it has been a great place to be. It has been the place where we've, you know, largely raised our children, the longest place we've ever lived. My wife had lived her whole life basically in Lubbock, Texas before we moved here. She lived in Germany for 3 years when she taught with the Department of Defense. But our youngest is graduating from high school. We're going to be somewhat empty nesters, although our middle child is going to be actually quitting her college studies in Oklahoma and finishing up her senior year, but that may take a little bit longer. We'll just have to see what transfers, but Sarah is coming with us to Charlotte. So anyway, transition time. I've never wanted to move, if we could avoid it, while our kids were in middle or high school, and thanks to God, we have been able to do that. So there are a bunch of places to connect with me now. I have actually aggregated these probably about 3.5 years ago. I had an opportunity to travel to Cairo, Egypt, and do a series of presentations at a wonderful conference there. And I saw one of the keynote speakers share this technique of using a web page with the word after. So like after a conference or after a podcast or a video or whatever, hey, here's where you can go. So if you just go to wesfryer.com/after, I have lots and lots of links of places that I'm sharing content and ideas and where you can find me online and connect. One of the most important places that I am sharing content continues to, of course, be Twitter, where I'm W. Fryer. And if you have any feedback about this podcast, just tweet at me at W. Fryer, W-F-R-Y-E-R. And that is a very quick way and effective way to get in touch with me. But media literacy has really become my jam. 3 years ago, right before the pandemic in the summer of 2019, I had a chance to attend in person the Summer Institute in Digital Literacy, which incidentally will be for the first time in several years this year, both online and in person. It'll be in person in Chicago. You can find more information about it. It's going to be July 10th through the 15th, 2022, on the website DigiURI, and URI stands for the University of Rhode Island, which up until this point has been the primary location of the conference, but it's branching out. So it's digiuri.com. And I had just a fantastic experience there at the Institute. The last two summers I have served on the faculty. This summer I may share some workshops there. I'm going to be moving with my family, so I'm not going to be as involved being a cohort leader or co-leader. But anyway, I ended up just solidifying what I had suspected was the case, that media literacy, and of course I should do a whole podcast on media literacy versus digital literacy, and whatever term you prefer or whether you use both terms, I've collected and continue to collect resources related to my own work in media literacy on a subdomain of my westfriar.com site. If you don't know how to do that, it is really fantastic to be able to have this custom name for a Google site, and I have a bunch of these. And so this one is just medialiteracy.westfriar.com. But for instance, you know, conference presentations, writing projects, I think I have the aggregated tweets of that I like to use the hashtag medialit. And so in fact, if you search Twitter for medialit and then add W. Fryer, you'll find things that I'm sharing online about media literacy. I'm constantly finding things and locating resources. And so anyway, that's a great place to find resources, connect with lessons, and if you're interested in media literacy, that's really the main place where I collect those things. And like I said, I'm sharing those pretty frequently on Twitter. Another thing I'm really doing, so I love to play with media. My first book that I published in 2011, Playing with Media, which desperately needs to be updated. Somebody needs to talk to that author and get him in gear to get that thing updated. But Playing with Media, one of the basic ideas of that is that as we play with the creation of media and we become multimedia creators, but especially if we can find ways to sort of lower the bar for ourselves, find a sandbox, find places where we can create media without worrying that it's perfect and we can really, you know, have fun, but just experiment and play, that really benefits us as educators in the 21st century, where media plays such an important role, not only finding, consuming, and critically analyzing and ingesting or consuming media created by other people, but, you know, creating media ourselves. That is really, really a fantastic catalyst for learning. It's a great way to amplify good ideas. So anyway, I have found that, number one, I love to cook, but I also, of course, love to create media, and I can bring those things together. And so I have a food and cooking blog on food.westfriar.com. That's not what we would call a CNAME domain registration to Google Sites. It's an actual WordPress site. You can point subdomains like my medialiteracy.westfriar.com. That happens to point to a Google site. Food.westfriar.com points to a WordPress site that I maintain. But anyway, that site has every family recipe that my wife's mother, Clara Ward, shared with us, and her husband had electronically put into a ClarisWorks database. And a few years ago, I got that converted out of ClarisWorks into Excel and then finally into WordPress, in part so that I could access those recipes, but also so our family could and our kids, who are increasingly moving away and going other places. But I also just use that as a spot to share new recipes that I'm finding, and I just really enjoy playing with media. Hey, I became a barbecue TikToker in the last, I don't know, week and a half. So I continue to have a weekly podcast and show. We were actually off this week because Jason needed to get ready for the NCCE conference that I'll talk about, but it's called the EdTech Situation Room, the Educational Technology Situation Room, where my friend Jason Knifer and I, and Jason's up in Missoula, Montana, get together and talk about the week's tech news and, as he says, shoot them through an educational prism or lens to talk about the impacts that they would have. Anyway, I love podcasting, love creating media, and Jason, among other things, mentions, on his Geeks of the Week and at other times, you know, his enjoyment of TikTok, which I had dabbled with a little bit, but just really hadn't shared a whole lot. And again, it turns out people love to, you know, look at barbecue videos, look at, yummy food, and TikTok is a lot like Vine. It was designed as a short form video platform. I think now they've increased it where you can have up to 10-minute long videos there. But anyway, I have a variety of different channels. I have a Facebook page. I post to Instagram. I do post to Twitter. And so if you're on any or all of those channels, you can find the links to those. And I need to add my TikTok. I'll do that. My TikTok is just cooking with Wes. But I'll add that to my food.westfryer.com site. So I am in the process of having to migrate quite a bit of content on our school Google domain. And I say migrate, it's really copying. Because from an intellectual property standpoint, just like when I was at Texas Tech University and what I understood their policy to be with regard to faculty intellectual property, it's a shared situation. So I'm leaving all of my lessons and slideshows for my media literacy classes with the teacher who'll be taking my place. But I'm wanting to take copies of these. And honestly, I'm pretty sure that all of my lessons are going to continue to live on because I think I'll be moving those into a shared folder. But, you know, what's happening to my YouTube videos? It's interesting. I publish the majority of my videos to my personal YouTube channel, which you can find at youtube.com/wfryer. It's my same handle that I use for Twitter and Instagram and a bunch of things. But, like for instance, when I left UConn Public Schools, I was an instructional coach and then a STEM teacher, I think for a total of 4 years. Up until 2015 when I came to Cassidy, so basically 2011 to 2015. And at the time I left, I had talked with the tech director, and he put my Google account into some kind of, it wasn't a suspended status, but it was basically preserved. So all these videos that I published with my kids and all that stuff, you know, got maintained. Anyway, I want to make sure that I have continuing access to all of my lessons and to videos, etc. So I've used Google Takeout. I don't think I finished downloading, so I have a lot of videos, to download all of my YouTube video content. And if you're not familiar with Google Takeout, when you move from a particular organization, including a school that's using Google, you could use it to get, you know, bulk copies of all of your stuff. Anyway, I have set up a website, lessons.westfryer.com. This is, again, a Google site. I used it when I went to my new school, which is Providence Day School, or PDS, in Charlotte, North Carolina. I taught a couple demo lessons, one for middle schoolers and one for high schoolers. But I am using that website as a container and a, I guess, bucket to put my media literacy lessons primarily, as well as some other lessons that I am updating and putting different places. So anyway, check that out, lessons.westfryer.com. Hey, this last week on Thursday and Friday, I had a chance, again, thanks to the amazing Jason Neifer, who, if you don't follow Jason, he is Tech Savvy Teach on Twitter. I had a chance to attend the virtual NCCE conference, and Jason has been an active leader in NCCE for years. He is the, I think, educational technology administrator in residence there. He's now the director of the Montana Digital Academy. And anyway, that's where Jason will usually put together new conference presentations and share them with the world for the first time. And I was, not disappointed in any way at all with the conference, only that I didn't get to, you know, constantly attend the whole thing. I you know, I didn't take those days off of work and school. So I caught sessions when I could, and I've been able to watch one of the recordings, and I think all the sessions are going to be available for after, you know, asynchronous viewing. And so anyway, I created this afternoon a Twitter moment, which is a little bit too long to give you the URL verbally. If you go to my Twitter account, which is twitter.com/WFryer, okay, twitter.com/WFryer/moments, it is the most recent one at the top. I'll link it in the show notes. But it includes, I think, somewhere around 50 different tweets from the conference. I have been doing this for a number of years. Rather than just write blog posts about individual sessions, which I kind of did before the real rise of social media, like Facebook and Twitter, it's great to share via Twitter using a hashtag, and then after the fact, collecting or aggregating those tweets into a moment. And it's probably, along with lists, a fairly underutilized feature of Twitter. But you can check that out, and there's just so many excellent things that were shared not only by Jason, but by Mike Gustinelli and by other presenters. So I am looking forward, speaking of conferences, to presenting at my first face-to-face conference in like 3 years. I'm going to be going to the Atlas Conference, which is the Association of Independent Schools, a great, great conference that I've attended several years in person, and I've attended some, I don't think I did attend a virtual Atlas. I think I've just gone in face-to-face. But here coming up May 1st through, or maybe 2nd through 3rd, 1st through 3rd. It's going to be in Orlando, Florida, and so I'm having an opportunity to go with our high school computer science department chair and our technology manager. Anyway, the man who took my job and is carrying on the technology support roles at our school. And I'm looking forward to that, and I'll be presenting a session on Fruit Loop conspiracy theories. Originally, I think it was titled How to Teach About Conspiracy Theories Without Losing Your Job. And we went with a less provocative title in the final. And so now it is teaching about conspiracy theories and media literacy. But it is my absolute favorite unit and lesson series. I'm teaching it right now to my sixth graders for the sixth time. The last 2 years I've been teaching it, and I teach these classes 3 times a year. They're trimester courses. And so anyway, that will be coming up very soon. You'll be able to find the link to that, not only on Twitter, but on my handouts and presentations page, which I did a pretty comprehensive update on at wiki.westfryer.com. And so let me make sure that's correct, because it's been a while since I've been there. Maybe handouts.westfryer.com, actually. I think it is. I have just not done nearly as many presentations in the past, actually the past 7 years, since I've been at Cassidy. And I'm trying to get this to come up. I know this makes for a great podcast. Hey, let's go to westfryer.com/after. And that'd be a real bummer if my website's down right now. Okay, so you can go to westfryer.com/after, and then we've got a link that says download Wes's presentation slides. And yes, it is wiki.westfryer.com. So finally that did come up. All right, I've moved that around at some different times. So I'll be sharing the link there. I'll also be sharing that on Twitter. Really looking forward to sharing that presentation, which I'm almost done with those slides. I'm also needing to finish some book writing projects and get some others underway. For like over 10 years, I have been working on and off on a project that kind of brings together my religious and faith side as a follower of Jesus and a Christian with my love of media. And it's called Pocket Share Jesus, Become a Digital Witness for Christ. I really, really like the WordPress-based platform Pressbooks.com. And so that project is almost done. There's like 2 chapters I need to finish, and then I got to proof it, and then I'll be able to publish it on Amazon. And I actually want to record it. I have a lot of book projects that, you know, need to get done. And so I'm hopeful in this next season of life and work. I'll be able to get into a good routine of writing and recording and publishing. But you can find that at pocketshare.pressbooks.com. I've gone ahead and made the whole thing public, even though it's not completely finished, but a lot of it is, you know, there. And it's, you know, how to use InfoPics and quick edit video and narrated sketch notes and other kinds of media products to amplify the Bible and to amplify our Christian walk and our journeys of faith. So anyway, that's what that's about. So middle school media literacy is my jam. I've already talked about that a little bit. I'm not actually sure why I wrote that again in my notes. But my I have a third TED Talk that took about a year for them to publish it on YouTube. But a little over a year ago, in March of 2021, I had a chance to share a third TED Talk called Technology Fear Therapy, which is about protecting your family and yourself from hackers and from identity theft. And that was at the University of Central Oklahoma. And so you can find it there. I have actually a playlist of a bunch of my presentations, right on the homepage of my YouTube site, which is youtube.com/WFryer. But anyway, if you haven't checked that out, that's a good thing to check out. And lastly, Substack. I have been watching with a lot of interest Substack grow as a platform, and more, you know, journalists and authors and others use Substack effectively. It is a free newsletter, which you can monetize. And I have really sort of iteratively, you know, sort of like this podcast, not on a regular schedule, use Substack to share updates. I know that having a newsletter and an email list is really important as an author and a writer and a speaker and a publisher and all these things. But anyway, I haven't been very consistent in my use of it. But you can check it out, and I will publish some updates. What I probably need to do is at least share, you know, here's things that I've published recently in terms of media and content, because, you know, I'm a bit scattered, like many of us possibly are. And sometimes, you know, it's good to have things together in an email message that everyone can receive. And you can also go on and read past versions of Substack newsletters. So we use a Substack now for the EdTech Situation Room, just to share all of the show notes and links that we talk about, as well as those we don't. That's at edtechsr.substack.com, by the way. So, with all of those links shared and about 20 minutes of a podcast recorded, I would like now to play the recording from this last week. It is 17 minutes and 35 seconds long, and this is recorded in my classroom. I'll include a link and embed the video on YouTube, but 15 things I love about my classroom and my teaching situation. I'll just wrap up the podcast after that audio concludes, and so I'll just say thank you so much for listening. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. The actual web link on my speedofcreativity.org site, which uses FeedBurner. If you remember that from back in the day, Google acquired it and still has FeedBurner. All of that has remained the same. It's just that I guess I hadn't updated my podcast in a long time. So Apple, I guess it's no longer called iTunes. It's Apple Podcasts. But anyway, they had dropped that, and, you know, it's back on. But all of those podcasts, all of the podcasts from Moving at the Speed of Creativity, are available on speedofcreativity.org. And if you have any feedback, hey, if you just listen to the show, I'd love to hear from you. You can leave a comment on speedofcreativity.org. I'm not super fast all the time to approve those. They come through a system called Discus, which I had set up years ago and haven't changed. But you can always reach out to me on Twitter. That is a really fast way to reach out, and that is WFryer. You can also find a contact form for me at westfryer.com/contact. So without further ado, here are the 15 things I love about my classroom and my current teaching situation, teaching media literacy to 5th and 6th graders at Cassidy School in Oklahoma City. Hi, this is Wes Fryer. It is April the 18th, 2022, and I'm here in my classroom at Cassidy School, and I want to share 15 things that I absolutely love about my classroom and my teaching situation this year here at Cassidy. All right, well, I'll preface this by saying I am not sharing this in any way to be bragging about the situation that I am in. But I am in one of, pretty much for sure, the best teaching situations that I have been in ever. I've been in a lot of different teaching situations. I've been teaching since 1995, and it's 2022, so that's a few years. I've done some things kind of in between. I haven't been a classroom teacher, you know, every one of those years. But the last 7 years I've been here at Cassidy School, I was the technology director for 4 years, and the last 3 years I've had the opportunity to teach media literacy and to teach all of our fifth and sixth grade students in our middle division or our middle school. And we have grades 5 through 8 here in what we call the middle division. And so I'm just gonna kinda run through these, and I'll shoot some little video to overlay a little bit, but these are things that I absolutely love. Number one, writable white space. I've got this great whiteboard at the front of my room. I got a whiteboard in the back. I love being able to have that whiteboard space, being able to write on it myself, being able to have my students, you know, write on it. We use our boards all the time, and I use electronic screens. We have a projector, and we use Jamboards, and we use Google Slides and all these different things, but being able to have writable space is a big deal. Next, trusted curricular autonomy. This is huge. So I've had the opportunity the last 3 years to really reimagine what this computer class includes and focuses on. When I inherited this class, it was predominantly keyboarding and Google applications. And I have made this class into, I think, quite a bit more. We end up doing some coding and computer science and computational thinking, but also we do a lot of multimedia. We do media literacy. This whole SIFT framework that, you know, I have a poster about behind me is my favorite unit with my sixth graders. We do a family oral history project, which I just love, but diving into the Apollo moon landings and conspiracy theories and using this SIFT web literacy framework, which is, you know, stop, investigate the source, find trusted coverage, trace to the original SIFT. I love this, and it's so important. And so the opportunity to be able to reimagine what our curriculum needs to be, and then being trusted to be able to do that, and then to, you know, be able to share that curriculum with students has just been great. Student Chromebook. So we are one-to-one Chromebook. We've got Dell 11-inch Chromebooks, and all of our middle school teachers have a Chromebook like the students. We have a student device. This is huge because, number one, sometimes things look a little different. We use MacBook Airs as our primary teacher device, but things can function differently on the Chromebook. It's really handy to have this out in class. I was sketchnoting today, actually in class, just like my students were. And, you know, I was using the same stylus that they were. I get to, you know, vet my lessons and make sure they all work as they should. So that is really key. And I would recommend that anybody who's in a one-to-one learning environment where every student has a device, the teachers are given and trusted to have a device as well. It's also a backup because sometimes things will happen, and I've always got my Chromebook if I'm not using it, or even if I am and I want to just hand it to a student. That's really great. I have a second TV screen. Now, this is actually a television that I brought from home. My main projector is the largest display screen that we have. But for the last 2 years, I've been using two screens in my room, and I love that. I always have a slideshow of the outline of what we're doing for the day, and I love to have that up here, and I can keep that up here, but then I am able to use my main screen to show content, show videos, you know, be able to interact with my other screen. But I have a program, which I didn't put on here, I guess, but called Air Server. And that allows for either Apple devices or Chrome devices, in the case of Chrome, to cast up to the screen. And so I can have any of my students cast or share their screen right up here to my television or here to my computer or my projector, which I'm connected to with Apple TV, which I'll talk about. Anyway, that is just fantastic. And, you know, I think that we need to be exploring the use of multiple screens in the classroom. And if you're not testing that with teachers in your school or your school district, I think it's a good thing to test because, you know, yes, we love, and I love having a main large projection area, whether that is a projector as I have with a drop-down screen or a large format television, but it can really be handy to have more than one screen. One time I did a series of workshops up in Montana at the College of Education in Missoula. We had like 4 screens. It was amazing. Very, very unusual. And typically I think in classrooms we just see one projection device, but I'm fortunate to be able to have a second. I have decorated this room with my own posters, and I love that. You know, I've taught undergraduate and graduate classes at the university, and a lot of times in university, but also maybe in high schools, or could be middle school too. It just depends. You know, we have to share spaces. We don't have our classroom, and so you're much more limited on how you can personalize your room. Well, I've got all of my space stuff and my, you know, Air Force Academy and ISS, International Space Station stuff. I've got lots of New Zealand posters, you know, over here. I've got my, I'll talk about it in a minute, my Waldseemüller map and my national parks and, you know, my Star Wars and movie posters. I love it. I love creating an environment for students that feels different, and I think it reflects some aspects of my personality. And I think that's really a big deal, to be able to own your space and to be able to project aspirationally who you see yourself and the kinds of things we're passionate about as teachers, and being able to craft that space. I mean, in addition to that, I turned on all my lights, which I kind of never have my overhead fluorescent lights on, but you know, I've got some like Christmas lights, but they're white. So I've got some, you know, white lights, you know, in the room, and I've got a lamp, and, you know, creating some ambiance, in addition with posters with lights is really a big deal. Okay, let's talk about the Waldseemüller map. So I'll show this. I love this map. This is the 1507 Waldseemüller map. It was actually, the first map to ever show first widely distributed map in Europe to show the entire hemisphere of North and South America, the Western Hemisphere, surrounded by water. And there's a wonderful book by Toby Lester called The Fourth Part of the World. And I've heard Toby speak. I learned about this actually at a Google Geo Institute that was in Lewiston, Maine, like 10 years ago or whatever. And so anyway, I was able to get this blown up on some vinyl. It's owned by the Library of Congress. It's the most expensive thing the Library of Congress ever purchased. They paid $10 million for it. And it's called America's Birth Certificate because it's based on the voyages of Amerigo Vespucci, and on South America, the word America appears, and this is why we call the Americas and not the Columbias or something else. And so anyway, I just love to have this up. I do talk about it periodically with my students. Again, it's like creating some of the classroom atmosphere that I want. I love being able to have that. I have a box of mice in my room. I'm not talking about, you know, mice that are alive. I'm talking about computer mice. And using especially Minecraft, as we do with our Chromebooks, but also even when we use our Mac laptops that I'll talk about in a minute, it is really handy to be able to have a 2-button mouse. And I love the fact that I have those. My kids can use them. They turn them back in at the end of the class. But that is really an excellent and wonderful thing. I'm blessed to have a great view from my classroom. I'll go ahead and open up the windows to show this view, and maybe show some other pictures I've taken, you know, in the mornings and stuff. But I think this is the prettiest classroom in our entire campus. I'm up on the second floor of our building overlooking the lake. We're here in Oklahoma City in central Oklahoma, and it is just a very beautiful view, and it's something that I not only enjoy, my advisory students enjoy. We have a table, you know, that's right there by the windows that a lot of times my kids will play chess or study, you know, when they're self-selecting some places to see. And that actually takes me to chess sets. So my wife actually had a whole lot of chess sets that she had purchased, and actually when she came to Cassidy, brought those over, and I've been fortunate this year to be able to utilize like 5 or 6 of those. I love having chess sets out, And when my students don't have homework to work on in advisory at the end of the day, and then sometimes during breaks when I'm here, students will come in and play chess, and I love that. And I'll play them at chess. I'm actually not very good at chess. We've got some kids that are excellent, but that is just an excellent dynamic. And just having the chess sets and having them set up has been a wonderful, wonderful thing as a sixth grade advisor this year. I have flexible seating. So one of the best things that happened to this room, this used to be our language lab, and there were fixed study carrels that were literally, you know, like bolted in place. You couldn't move them because they were all not only electrically wired, but also with internet cabling. You know, the desks could not be moved. And I've taught plenty of classes in a fixed computer lab setting like that. And it's great to have reliable internet and reliable computers, but I love to have flexible seating. And so sometimes we'll push the desks back. Now that COVID is winding down, we don't have to maintain the social distancing like we have for the last couple years. It really is wonderful to have these flexible desks that we can push together. You know, we can create tables. We can, you know, make a big circle. It's just a wonderful thing. Apple TV. So I have an Apple TV that's actually in the back of my room connected with HDMI to my projector, and that is how I project my laptop screen to students. Our fiber network got completely upgraded, I think, 2 summers ago, and it's robust, it's fast. But, you know, fast internet is actually a huge thing that I just kind of take for granted here, which is wonderful because I've taught in plenty of places where the internet was not as fast and not as reliable, and the Apple TV is super reliable. Every once in a while, I will need to disconnect and reconnect because we'll have a little buffering issue, but it's very rare, and it's just so reliable. It works great to show video, to show slides. And like I said, I'm using Air server software on my computer. So when I'm connected to my Apple TV, I can be anywhere in my room. And then when I need students to share their Chromebook, they're able to cast, and I can even have multiple kids cast to that projector or to this television. And then I can select which screen I want to make full screen. I can disconnect, you know, students. It is just really, really fantastic. And I love being able to have that reliable wireless display technology that allows me to be so flexible in the room as I am teaching. Green screen. So this is a unique part of my room. I asked our maintenance department, maybe the first year I was here, if they could paint with green screen paint. They were using it over in our high school, our upper division, to paint some areas in a computer lab. And I was like, you got some extra paint? I'd love to have a green screen. So this area is painted, and periodically, students will use it to create media projects. And I love having a space that students can use to create media, to show what they know with media, and being able to have that green screen is just fantastic. So we kind of keep that area clear so if students need to move in there. Last year we had middle schoolers, kind of the leaders, kind of like student council, but they're called prefects here, kind of like Harry Potter. And they were making like a new show periodically. And so they would come in here and shoot that, and they could change what they had in the background. And it was just great. A popcorn machine. So I don't do this all the time, but I love being able to make popcorn periodically for students. Sometimes we do this on Fridays. I like to have a popcorn movie day when students have created their own movies, and then we watch those and we give feedback to each other. Not everybody can have popcorn. There's allergies, but we really haven't run into that. More it's just some kids, you know, are big fans of popcorn. We don't do butter. I have an air popper. But that's been fun. I mean, and the whole room smells like popcorn, right? On a popcorn day, and, you know, kids are excited. It doesn't cost very much. I just, you know, go to Walmart and pick up some popcorn and, you know, have some bowls. I've had to make sure that I, you know, fill those, and we, you know, even in and not a COVID time, that's probably a good thing to not have everybody just, you know, reaching in the same bowl. But it has worked out great, and I really love being able to do that and have that popcorn available. I love having a laptop cart. So when we moved the study carrels out of this room and put flexible furniture in here, we also purchased MacBook Air laptops. And so we're able to use those for software that we, you know, can't run on our Chromebooks. Those get borrowed sometimes by other classes, especially in the makerspace when they're doing some kind of you know, software program, like some of the robotic stuff that they're doing, or some of the 3D printing
you know, requires some different software, some specialized software. It's not all web-based. It's just also great to have that as a backup. I'm really, really fortunate to be able to have those. We continue to have an issue with our Chromebooks and Minecraft where sometimes it'll go in what's called, we call it the loop, and kids have to power wash in order to get Minecraft to work. Well, we can just grab one of those computers. We have adapters for the USB-A plug-in, which the mouse is, or the mice plug-in with that. And it's just really, really wonderful to have that readily accessible whenever we need them. And then the last thing I'd say is great colleagues. You know, there is no substitute for working with great people. Having a supportive administration, but having colleagues that you really enjoy, you know, going to school with, teaching with. I love walking to and from our chapel here in the middle school this year. And last year, too, we switched up schedules. High school used to start with chapel. Now middle school does. I love starting the day that way. And I love, you know, walking over there with the kids, walking back with colleagues. It's one of the most important times where I actually get to connect. And it's easy to sort of be in your room and close your door, especially because I teach the special classes that provide coverage for our regular sixth grade teachers, and that's when they meet as a team. And so I almost never get to meet with them at the regular weekly team meetings. But I do get to walk to chapel. I do get to be out, you know, during our morning break time, and I get chances to connect. And we really, you know, have some wonderful teachers here, and that makes all the difference. So, perhaps this is inspiring for you. If you're an administrator thinking about how to create great classroom spaces and how to empower your teachers, I feel incredibly empowered, thankful, and fortunate here at Casti School to have been able to be here for 7 years, but especially the last 3 years as a classroom teacher. And I'm looking forward this summer actually to moving to North Carolina and teaching middle school computer science and media literacy at the Providence Day School. And I'm excited about the opportunities that will be provided there. So if you want to connect with me, you can visit my website, westfryer.com. I have a variety of different places that I share content, but my westfryer.com is where I've kind of got them all linked up, and you can always find me on Twitter and reach out and let me know if you watch this, or you can leave a comment on this YouTube channel. Thanks. Have a great day.
Speed of Creativity podcast are independently produced by Wesley Fryer and are licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Only license. Learn more at www.speedofcreativity.org.